Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and a very special guest on today's broadcast, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are live right now, so you can join the broadcast, so you can pose your question or seek direction for the real-life issues you face. If there's something you'd like to talk about, let's talk about it right now at 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and it intersects with your life every day. We want to hear from you, so call now, 800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We do have a very special guest in the studio with us today, and I'm so excited about this day. Dr. Tom Davis, one of my best friends, is here with us. We've known each other. We're going to be 56 years old later this year, and I think we've been friends for almost 55 of those years.
I think you're right.
Yeah, so
Tom, we're in
kindergarten
together.
I think you and Bob must have some secret and mutual so that he is comfortable having you on the broadcast. I wouldn't want any of the guys that I run around with on the broadcast.
I can neither confirm nor deny. I've been practicing that line the whole time.
We've done a lot together.
Yes.
We've had mischief together. We've gotten in trouble together.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
He's
confessed to a lot of that.
We've done just everything, but it's just been amazing to see kind of God's work, to bring us out of that and to put us on a different course. And you've been a pastor now for 34 years. Yeah. You're the senior pastor at Due West Methodist Church, United Methodist Church in Marietta, Georgia. Mm-hmm. You've been the pastor there for 17 years.
Yep.
Folks, if you look up the definition of pastor in a dictionary, in a theological book, Tom's face is there. I think he is just the quintessential pastor, a person who genuinely cares for those that he shepherds, who is so interested in getting truth into their lives. And I'm just honored that you're my friend. And I know when my dad passed away, Tom was the pastor that served our family, and never forgotten that, never will forget that. That was such a meaningful experience, and you helped us through that in such a wonderful, compassionate way. So thank you, my friend.
Well, thank you, Bob. I value your friendship. You never have friends like your boyhood friends, and we share Jesus together and have since we were real young, and I'm thankful for
that. Yes, indeed. Well, Tom, tell us a little bit about your story. I mean, how did you come to that point of really knowing Christ, and then how did you come to that point of saying, hey, I want to be involved in ministry. I want to be a pastor. What were some of the things going on in your life that led you to that?
Yeah, the thought of being a pastor just never really ran across my mind, because I never knew a pastor that I could say, hey, you know, I think I could do what he's doing. I'd like to do what he's doing. They weren't people to me that the ones I knew weren't that approachable for the most part. My Christian life, it started as a life of faith, and I had a childhood faith for way longer than I was a child, and I wish that hadn't been the case. But it was later on, when I was 17 years old, that I had a strong sense that Jesus wasn't just an historical figure and somebody else's Savior. He was mine. And he began to become a real power in my life that began to change my life. And the more I gave to him, the more that he could do with it. And there were times that I was trying to call some areas off base for him. But that began to grow. It was when I was a junior in college that I think you and I were probably going to the Metro Bible Study.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. There was a fellow from Dallas, Texas. I was preaching that night. Leonard Ravenhill, you may have heard of him.
I've heard of Leonard Ravenhill.
I did not think about that till this moment. He was preaching that night at the Bible study. And to be honest with you, I don't remember anything that he said, but I sensed that a hand reached in my stomach and squeezed and almost threw up. And I sensed that that's what God had called me to do. And I thought, God surely must be wrong. And my prayers that night went from a few minutes to several hours that night.
And, wow.
And I went home And my mother was waiting for me. Well, I was in college. She didn't do that, especially in the summer. And I said, "Why are you waiting up?" She said, I was getting in bed, and something told me you wanted to talk tonight." And I said, I sensed a call into the ministry." She said, "I know." And I said, "Please don't tell anybody."
Let's keep that secret for a long time.
Let's keep that secret. Well, at least for a little while, because it just didn't feel comfortable to me at all. And so I started investigating it. And being a junior in college, I was a business major. And changed my major and then went on and
went to Emory Seminary.
Yeah, and then got my doctorate at Asbury Seminary.
Yeah. So, and you've been sharing the Lord and getting involved in people's lives. That's what I'm so impressed with as far as your ministry is concerned. You're a pastor that rolls up his sleeves.
Yeah.
You want to be involved in people's lives. You want to minister to them at every single level of their lives, and you do that. And I think that's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. You're, as I said, you're a pastor's pastor.
Well, you're kind. For me, the compunction of the gospel is that we're to love God and to love people, and it's not either or.
Yeah,
and,
it's a both and.
It's a both and. And when we were given the great commission and the great commandment, God said it's not either or. Just, and I think sometimes people don't see their work as a calling. And my purpose is to love God and to love other people. And as a pastor is the way I sense God's called me to do that. My son's not going to be a pastor, and neither is my daughter, but God's called them
to a work.
And,
absolutely.
To roll up their sleeves, to use your imagery. And that's what I want to do.
Well, you're doing it.
Well,
you're doing it quite well. I know, as a pastor at Due West, you have a particular mission statement, and I love this because I think it really, you know, just jumps off of the pages of Scripture when Jesus met everybody at their point of need, you know, wherever they were. And I think you have a mission statement at Due West that really, I think, imitates that and brings that to life as far as in your congregation. And what is your mission statement there?
We're to make disciples out of followers and followers out of wanderers. And Jesus had more than 12 disciples. At one point, we know he had 70, and at other points, we know thousands followed him. And there was an entry point, an entry place for all of them. And, you know, sometimes the road to being a disciple starts as a wanderer and then a follower and then a disciple. And so we intentionally try and find that entry point for people.
And I think that's important because God meets all of us right where we are at this point in time. So if you're listening today, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. Jesus Christ is alive, and he wants to meet you right where you are today. But he's not going to leave you there.
Absolutely.
He's not going to leave you there at all. He wants to meet you where you are. He wants to meet whatever felt need is going on, but he wants to dig deeper, and he wants to start growing himself inside of you and moving you along kind of his path.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love about your mission statement is as the church there at Due West, that's what y'all are doing in people's lives, and I'm sure you have folks from all walks of life that are coming and trying to find help and trying to find answers and trying
and
to
hope.
Move to to the next deal.
Another Dallas person, a professor of mine, he was at SMU a while back, Ken Callahan, says, you know, we've got four life searches, and it's for community, individuality, meaning, and hope. And those different basic life searches, they touch all of us, but they aren't all with the same emphasis. There are times where we really do need community, and we're aware of it. We always need community, but there are times we're aware of it. And there are other times where hope, that we're just plain old broken.
Yeah.
And that the hope that Jesus offers gives a peace that surpasses anything we know. And so we respond to the hope. And that's what we struggle to do as a church.
Yeah.
I struggle to do as an individual, listen to what folks are doing.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the things Richard always talks about is the fact that, you know, we have clergy and laity, but really in the body of Christ, we're all on equal footing. And
and
sometimes, you know, folks that I'm, quote, ministering to, in reality, they're the ones ministering to me. I'm the one that needs it at that particular point in time. And that is really a blessing and a big thing of being a part of the body of Christ. And that's what the church is. It's just the body of Christ. And we have local assemblies of that all over the planet. And it's exciting to see what God does through each and every one.
Yeah. Well, of course, this is a special edition of Basic Gospel, and our dear friend, Bob Christopher's lifelong friend, Tom Davis from Marietta, Georgia, is with us today. And friends, we want you to be a part of the broadcast. We have plenty of open lines right now, plenty of time remaining on the clock. If you have a question for us or something you'd like us to discuss, why, give us a call right now, toll-free, 800-677-9377. Again, 800-677-9377. This is Basic Gospel, and we want to hear from you.
Yes, indeed. Well, Tom, tell us a little bit about the challenges you face as a pastor. What's the number one challenge that you have? It may be something different than what it was 5 years ago, but what's the biggest challenge for you?
Well, some of the challenges are just basic life challenges, you know, crisis, my own and others, you know, some are developmental crisis, some are crisis. Well, like being an empty nester. Both of my children are in college now, and I miss them dearly. And that's real.
Yes, it is.
So it's not like, well, because I'm a minister, I don't have to deal with that. I started thinking about it long, long, long time ago because I saw it in the lives of others. But then there are also the crises that other people go through, and that weighs on me too. I can't be a Teflon pastor and not let anything stick. Their troubles, if every bit of their troubles stuck on me, I wouldn't be much of a pastor.
Yeah, you'd be a basket case.
I'd be long gone already.
Yes.
That's hard too. But trying to be helpful, you know, I quit trying to be wise a long time ago, and decided helpful might be better, and I try and preach in a helpful way, and pulling people together in community. I don't know if you knew this or not, but not everybody likes to get along.
I'm sure. That's
a revelation.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Folks, mark this date down. You've just heard some, you know, hot sports opinions right here.
Well, and it's not that everybody get along is not the point. It's that we point toward Jesus and that we agree. We just have to work together. We don't have to agree on everything.
Yeah,
and that's a big part of it too.
Well, that's what we were talking about yesterday a little bit. Can you imagine in that first century when the Gentiles were included? You know, the day of Pentecost, 3,000 Jews responded to the gospel message. They were added to the church. And then Peter goes off and goes into a Gentile's home and tells Cornelius and his whole family about the Lord. And the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And now they're added. And now Jew and Gentile have to get along. I always thought, you know, no wonder Jesus said to love your enemies, because at some point they're going to be your brothers in Christ.
Well, look at the disciples. I mean, Matthew calls himself the tax collector, even after he wasn't, and the others call him Levi, which I think is really, really interesting. But then there's a zealot in there, too.
Yes.
They set their mission to kill tax collectors, and that's part of the 12. My hunch is they weren't thinking, you know, along the same political lines.
Right,
possibly.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what the grace of God does, doesn't it? It gives us new eyes. And I love what Paul said in 2 Corinthians, I think chapter 5, that we no longer see each other in a worldly way. We have fresh eyes, a fresh lens to see people, and that enables us to actually get along and love one another as brothers and sisters.
And, you know, in Romans, where Paul says that he binds our spirit with his spirit, and we cry out, Abba, Father. And Abba means we all have the same daddy. And we begin to see each other as brothers and sisters and part of the same family, rather than, well, let's decide how you're different.
Yeah.
Because I'm just right, but you're different.
That's right. That's right. And, well, and one of the challenges in the church, and I think we're seeing some of these lines being drawn even more, I guess, clearly, are divisions. We have theological divisions. We have, I don't know how many different denominations here in the United States alone, but it's a bunch.
Yep.
And we're all different. Yep. In some way, shape, or form, and we use those differences to divide us instead of looking to Jesus to unify us, and that's what the world looks at and sees and says, "Gosh, I don't want that."
I think you're on the money. I think you're right on the money there. That we think the only people in the world are just those of us and. Jesus calls us to look out. Now, if God so loved the world, we need, at least need to look on it and see what he loves.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I think, you know, we get a lot of questions about Calvinism. And, you know, we've had lots of conversations about that through the years. And boy, I've never been in a conversation where it didn't turn awful.
Yeah,
I mean, where it just became this heated debate, and it's like, why? Why is this such a divisive doctrine? If it's divisive, we need to take a look at it and say that's not of the Lord. Yeah. He didn't call us to divide. He called us to be unified, and you see that call to unity throughout the New Testament, and I think there's only one way to be unified, and that's when we're all looking at Jesus and his finished work for us.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're going to look at ourselves and what we're doing and think what I'm doing is more important than what you're doing, and you know, you're just a second-class guy, and if you'd start doing what I'm doing, then we could get along. And
yeah,
it's just the ego and pride and all of those things that we latch onto as people. And it's not the way of the Lord. And certainly you see that in church and being a pastor and how hard it is for people to really love each other.
Well, and as the leader of the church, that's where I have to lead. And I have to hold myself in check first.
Yes.
And, you know, early on, I realized for every change I ask them to make, I have to make at least two or three. And some of those are real hard ones.
Yes.
Like what you're talking about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher, along with Bob Davis, Richard Pfeiffer. Our special guest today, Dr. Tom Davis, the head pastor at the Due West United Methodist Church in Marietta, Georgia, my lifelong friend. I'll have to tell this story. One night I was...
here comes Tom.
You know, this is benign, and it's a good story. It's a character story. Tom's dad was a colonel. And, you know, he towed the line and that sort of thing. But I was always over at Tom's house, spent the night over there quite a bit. And one night we were having this big pillow fight. I think we were maybe fifth grade, sixth grade, something like that. And boy, Tom's head is just right there. And I get my pillow back and I swing as hard as I could. I didn't see that pole, that bedpost in between my pillow and your head, and I hit it and it cracked and just fell over.
Yes.
And we looked at each other and said, uh-oh. Well, Tom marches down the hallway and says, Dad, I've got something to tell you. And he took the blame. He said, we broke the bedpost. Well, Mr. Davis came down and he had that stern look on his face. I was scared to death. But Tom took the blame. But it's a story that has stuck with me for all of these years because Tom was willing to tell the truth. And I think that is such an important quality is such an important characteristic, especially for those who know Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is full of grace and truth. And we, of all people, should be willing to speak truth,
yeah.
Whether it's good or bad, whether I have to admit, you know, that I've done something wrong, that I've been in the wrong, that my attitude stinks. We should own up to that.
Yeah.
That's what truth does. Yeah. And that was just one of those perfect illustrations of stories that I said has stuck in my mind for all these years.
Well, I appreciate that. I remember that night real well. Yeah, you started laughing just like you are now.
Yes, I did.
It's nervous laughter that jumped out of your face. And I was going, he's going to kill us both.
Yes.
And,
well, Richard, I tell you, Bob Christopher and a pillow fight doesn't surprise me at all.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It was great fun. I mean, we used to set up army men in your basement and shoot BBs at them. Ride motorcycles,
yeah.
And I had a wreck on a motorcycle when we were out, and that ended my motorcycle riding days. You've continued, but Well, let me ask this about you know, the folks that are there. What do you see as far as their understanding of the gospel? I'm sure you see people on all different levels, but you know, from a pastor, a preacher, what do you see are the needs of the people as far as biblical information, a knowledge of the gospel? Do you see that there's a real solid understanding? Do you see that there's confusion? Do you see that a lot of people bring their own biases into biblical interpretation?
That's a great question. That's a really, really good question. And if I understood your question right, it focused on knowledge, and I'm not so sure that knowledge is the problem. I think it's acting on the knowledge we have.
Application?
Rather than lack of knowledge. I mean, I see people do horrible things to the people that they love most in the family.
Right.
And somehow they find a way to justify it. And it's not lack of knowledge. I mean, kind of the way I look at it, Adam and Eve ate from the fruit of the tree of knowledge. We know right from wrong. You don't need to know Jesus to know murder's not a good thing. Just mark it off the list. You really don't need to know Jesus to know adultery. Probably not on the top 10 list of things to do. You do need to know Jesus to have power in your life.
Right.
That's the power of the one that made you.
Christ in you, your hope of of glory. But I think that's a true thing. I know we do a lot of personal counseling. So somebody comes in and they're struggling with what to do. And really, it's not that they don't know what to do. It's the struggle of, do they want to do it?
Yeah.
And I think that is really the big issue. You know, should I divorce my wife, or should I do this, or should I do that? And they know that that's not the thing, but, you know, they're struggling with it. And so I think that's a good deal. It's not knowledge. It's applied knowledge. Mm-hmm. And that's what we see so much of Jesus teaching, that hear the word and do it. Put it into practice. And that's what it's all about. So I think that's what ministry leadership is all about, is encouraging people to take that step of faith. And it takes a lot of guts to do it.
Oh, you aren't kidding.
Yeah.
It's not. Faith isn't following a list of rules. It's following a risen Savior. And the rules people try and put in the place of the Savior, and that just had never worked.
It had never worked, and it never will work. And we're going to tweet that.
Okay.
Faith isn't following a set of rules. It's following a risen Savior. That is good stuff. Well, Tom, thank you so much for being here with us today.
This has been
so much fun.
Oh, for me too. Thanks.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, a very special guest on today's edition of Basic Gospel is Dr. Tom Davis of New West United Methodist Church in Marietta, Georgia. And if those of you who are listening in the area, that's got to be a dandy.
They can find Tom at dowest.org.
Is that
the website? Dowest.org. If you want to be involved in a rich community of believers and enjoy fellowship, that's a place to go in the Atlanta area.
Tom, great to have you.
Thank you very much, Richard.
Thanks to everybody for joining us for this edition. Now, for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.